filled obedience. And to start off our lesson, I wanted to have the help of the kids this morning. So all of you kids that are out there listening, we need your help so you can help us remember a few things about Noah. I appreciate the reading this morning, Larry reading a chapter that's included in my sermon. So for the kids, how long was the ark? Does anybody remember? Sing that song in your head. How many cubits? Anybody? 300. Okay, good. So that's 450 feet long. How many cubits tall was the ark? 30. Very good. Okay, that's 45 feet. And how wide was it? How many cubits? Piper? 50. Okay, that's 75 feet. So think about this ark. 450 feet long, 45 feet tall, and 75 feet wide. What was that stuff called that he asked him to cover the ark with, inside and out?
Pitch.
That black tarry substance. And how many doors did we have in the ark? Just say it.
One.
How many windows? How many people were on the ark? How many total? Does anybody remember? I think I heard it. Somebody say eight? Okay, I think I heard it. And who was on the ark? Let's go through the names real quick. Who else? What are the names of the other people? Do we know them? What was Noah's wife's name? We don't know. How about Shem, Ham, and Japheth's wife's names? Do we know them? No. Okay, good. All right, so that's a great review. Thank you. So whether you are three today or you are 93, I don't know if we have any 93, but you will get something from this lesson because it's very, very simple. Faith-filled obedience. How many of you today have hired a contractor to do work for you at the house or build your house? How many of you have hired a contractor and they didn't show up when you thought they were going to show up? Anybody? Well, that's weird. How many of you gave them a day or two and they still didn't show up? And you called them and they said, oh, I'll be there tomorrow. Did that ever happen? How many of you gave them a week and they didn't show up? How many of you are doing a job at work right now and they haven't showed up for 3 weeks? It's hard sometimes to have faith in people when they let us down. And today we're going to be talking about faith, and we're going to be talking about faith-filled obedience. But you know, we lost faith, or a lot of us lose faith in people after a day or two, and that contractor that keeps calling, oh, I'll be there, and then they don't show. Can you imagine being Noah, knowing that you are putting your faith in something that you haven't seen and won't see for 100 plus years? No, it's coming. No, the rain will come. Trust me, it'll come. Just keep building the ark. 100 plus years. So this morning, I'm going to talk about the story of Noah. Larry read a little bit of it. There's about three chapters there, 6, 7, and 8, that we can read that tell us about Noah. I want us to be reminded to not lose faith and to do exactly what God tells us to do. If you get nothing from today, if you remember those two things, do exactly what God tells us to do and not to lose faith. I hope this message this morning finds us all growing in our faith and our obedience to God. And in looking at this story of Noah, I want us to look at when God speaks to Noah and Noah hears from him, I want us to look at how Noah responded. How does Noah respond to God's word? Because really that's what we're going to ask ourselves at the end. This story gives us a great example of his response to hearing from God, his stepping out in faith, his willingness to obey. You know, when you think about it, it's amazing to think back at what hung in the balance of his decision to either follow God or to not. Think about that for just 1 second. He had an opportunity to either do God's will or to not. What hung in the balance? The future of his family. We just listed the 8 people that made it on the ark, 7 with him. The course of human history and future generations. Think about what hung in the balance of, I'm either going to do his will or I'm not. When you think about how Noah responded to his word, it's easy for us to say, well, of course he had to respond that way. I mean, it was a perfect setup. Of course he had to. You know, if he didn't, that's the end, right? God says, hey, go build this ark. The people were very wicked at the time. Noah built the ark. But if he didn't, and he said, nah, I don't think I want to. That's it. 6 chapters in the Bible. That's it. It's the end. Right here. This is all the Bible's comprised of, right there. One decision. It's easy for us to say, well, of course Noah was going to obey God. That's the way God set it up. Did we read any other Bible stories where someone didn't obey God? Countless ones. He had the same opportunity to make the decision to either follow God and do His will or not. There were massive implications. And we might say, well, he had to follow God. He had the same choice and opportunity as everybody else we read in this Bible. He has the same opportunity to either choose God and follow Him as we do today or to not. It's easy for us sometimes to, in our own lives and in our own situations, say, well, I'm not sure that's really that important to God. Well, if I don't obey God in this one small matter, it's not that big a deal. We sometimes justify our decisions and we say, well, I don't think He cares much about that. Or that's not that important. Or have you ever come to a place in your life that you feel like you can determine the level of obedience based on how important you think God makes things? If God asks us to do it, do you think it's important? Is there a scale of importance? There's not. It's not up to us to pick and choose what we think is important or what He would like us to do or what He doesn't like us to do. If He tells us and it's said, it's important for us to do it. The reality is that our obedience to God matters a great deal to Him, and it should matter a great deal to us. The question that was hanging before Noah, that hangs before us this morning, and it hangs before us every single day, is what will we do in response to God's word? What did Noah do in response to God's word? Well, we're going to read about that. If you want to turn with me in Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 22, we see here it says, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing the flood of waters on the earth, to destroy from under heaven all flesh and which is from the breath of life, and everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you, to keep them alive." Let me read that again. "Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourselves of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. That verse says it all. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And I'm going to turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. And you guys know what that says. "But by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household. by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to their faith. The first part of that. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he moved with godly fear, and what did he do? He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And we go back to Genesis. He did everything God commanded him. As we read this story, and we read in chapter 6 through 8, you know how many times Noah is actually quoted saying something? So that's what this whole story is about. Genesis 6 through 8, it's about him, right? How many times did Noah speak? How many times was he quoted? Zero. It references Noah. It talks about Noah. It says what he did. But we don't have any comments from Noah. He's silent. Why would he be silent? The whole story is about him, right? Wrong. Even though we think this story is about Noah, who is it really about? It's about God. You know, we have a tendency, we read these awesome stories, and whether, you know, the story is about David and Goliath, it's about Moses, it's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we have a tendency to build them up and make the story about them. But who's the story? Who are those stories really about? They're about God. He used everyday people, just like He's using us every single day, to do normal things. But it's really about God. Isn't that what our life is supposed to be about? About God, so others can see through us Him. That's what it was here. You know, we forget sometimes what these stories are truly about. We forget that these people are just a supporting cast. This story was clearly about a sovereign God justly judging humanity. And a sovereign God who is graciously saving sinners, just like you and I. That's why we don't hear from Noah, because it wasn't important for us to hear from Noah. The focus in this story is about God's word and Noah's physical response. God telling Noah what he wanted to do and Noah just doing it. There in that verse, it tells us that he did all God commanded him. This is the crux of genuine faith. Do we do what God says? We can all say that we're people of faith, that we believe in Jesus, we love Him, but are we really doing everything that He asks us? I'm going to flip back to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22 tells us, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." All of us can say we're Christians. We can all say we read the Bible. We can all say we love Jesus. But if we're not doing what He asks us, who are we fooling? Ourselves. We're not fooling anyone else. We may. We're deceiving ourselves. We can't just listen. We can't just read. We have to be doers. What does it look like to have a life that is faith-filled obedience? Well, I think the Scriptures give us a perfect example. And I'm not trying to deviate at all from this story. I don't think we need to, which is why I'm just staying in the story of Noah. But this story about Noah and this flood are perfect for us to see what faith-filled obedience looks like. And faith-filled obedience does a couple things. It heeds God's warning, for number one. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." What's the very first thing God basically does here? He gives him a warning about the coming judgment. You know, when you read this, you might think, I wonder where Noah's heart was. I wonder what he was thinking exactly. Well, Hebrews chapter 11, 7 tells us exactly where his heart was. You know, you think about how many ways he could have responded to what he said. I mean, the story goes from God basically tells him, hey, the end of all flesh is going to happen. And then immediately goes into, here's what I want you to do. You know, he could have done exactly what most of us probably do, and that is, well, you know, we know there's things we should do, and sometimes we just don't do them. Noah knew he needed to build this ark. He could have just not done it. He could have started the project, and year 80 went, oh man, I'm exhausted. I don't think I'll do it. How many of us start a project and a week later we quit them? Let alone years, decades later. Could have grown weary and well-doing and thought, really? Rain. Yeah, rain's coming. Mm-hmm. Sure it is. He could have said, God, you're crazy. I'm not doing it. He could have been fearful, and Noah was fearful, and I think in a lot of ways, when we think of God's judgment, we tend to think about being fearful. Noah clearly had a healthy fear for God. But you know, I think what motivated Noah was this godly fear that was spoken of in Hebrews. Godly fear, or this reverent fear for the Lord. What's your fear for the Lord right now? Yeah, none of us want to be judged and go to hell. Do you have godly fear, reverent fear? Do you love Him? Are you in awe of Him? He heeded God's word by having an awe-inspiring warning that was given to him. At the foundation of his faith was this reverent or this godly fear. He heeded God's fear by acting in faith. That's what that verse tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, where we read the who's who of those who had great faith. That faith that Noah had was produced in his heart, and we know what comes in, goes into the heart will come out. Action-based. Isn't that what God wants us to do? Is He wants us to read, understand, be in love with Him, put that in our heart, and what goes in our heart, actions will come out. The proper actions will come out. You know, if He has our heart, He knows He'll have proper actions. We will act as God wants us to. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations." And I think this last part's most important. Noah walked with God. What do you have to do to walk with someone? You have to be in stride with them. You have to agree with them. You have to understand what's going on with them. You have to be side by side. You have to believe in the things they're saying. Noah was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Are you walking with God? Is the groundwork for your faith-filled obedience revolve around walking with God? You know, if we struggle wanting to do His will, we're not in love with Him, and we're probably definitely not going to walk with Him. Faith-filled obedience obeys God's word. Noah obeyed God. When it comes to Noah, and he tells him that I'm going to send rain on this earth, and I'm going to flood it. Noah, you got to remember, didn't have a clue what rain was. I mean, that's pretty much our understanding. He wouldn't have had a clue. You go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 6, and it says, "But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." This mist kept things alive, and it kept things watered. The best of our knowledge, we don't know that he would have known what rain was. So how in the world are you going to flood the earth with this mist? He wouldn't have had any inkling as to what was going to happen. And then he asks him to build this ark. When you go look up what the ark, that word is in the Hebrew, it's a box. Well, when you look at those dimensions and you go out and you just draw those dimensions, or think about a football field, and I know we've all done this, but you think about a football field being 300 feet long. Go stand before a football field and look how enormous that is. This would have been another 150 feet longer. And look how tall. And how many of us today have a three-story home? Not many of us. Maybe two. But think about three stories tall and this massive box. Build this massive box so that you can save yourself and your family from this rain that you know nothing about. And oh, by the way, it's going to take you a long time to build it. Talk about faith. How strong is your faith? I've not been asked to build an ark. Imagine building something that size, and who's going to help him? Do we read of anybody? Just call in the townspeople. They're going to help you. No, maybe his family. And who is his family? You go read that story. It would have taken probably 16, 17, 18 years as they were being born to even help. They'd have been kids. Christian, Kenzie, go get me all the lumber in the area. Yeah, okay, Dad. Sure. Oh, by the way, you're going to need to cut it down. Because when I built my house, I had a lumber yard bring me with a truck, truckloads of lumber. You think, no, bring in the trucks, boys. No, they didn't have that. Didn't happen. I mean, we kind of laugh at some of this stuff, but it's unbelievable to think about what he did. Hey, cut down every tree in the area. Oh, wait, that's me. And bring it in, and then I'm going to build this thing. For those of you who have built your own house, do you realize how much lumber shows up? It's truckloads. And my house isn't even a speck of what this ark looked like. This box with all these stories and covered. And why would you have a window if it's not covered with all these different various stories and these rooms? The pitch. Where did you get this pitch to cover this thing? Faith-filled obedience. I get the feeling, do your kids every weekend say, hey, what are we going to do? What are we going to do this weekend? That's what my kids do. You get the feeling Shem comes up to Noah and says, hey, Dad, what are we going to do this weekend? Well, same thing we did the last 80 years. We're going to work on this ark. Hey, Dad, what are we going to do tonight? Same thing we've been doing for 90 years. Work on the ark. Now, think about that. We can't hardly think past a week. I can't hardly plan past a month. I'm going to stay focused on building this ark. You know, I think at Job, and I think about how many people ridiculed him, and oh, just curse God and die. How many people had to walk by and go, what is this guy doing? What is this box you're built? Oh, for the rain? Cool. Good luck on that. Imagine how much laughter there was around this. Talk about strong faith. Talk about keeping your family focused on what's right and what to do. Think about all the excuses Noah could have come up with. I can think of 50 right now, and I'm not even asked to build the ark. Oh, my elbow. Ooh. Hurting. My back today is hurting. Can't get my chainsaw started. Just won't start. I don't seem to have the proper help. I'm really tired today. What did Noah do? Didn't respond. We don't read any responses. Yeah, we do read a response. He didn't verbally respond. He physically went out and responded. He just did it. And what did he do? Everything the Lord asked him to do. You're probably sitting here thinking, how in the world did you just talk for 25 minutes about really the same thing? It's a pretty simple message. One that I need. One that we all need to be reminded of. One that reminds us that our faith probably isn't as strong as it needs to be at times. I look at this guy and I think, wow. He had every reason in the world to just not do what God asked him to do. What a daunting task. There is a direct correlation between our obedience and the trajectory that our life is on. We're either walking with Him and we're obedient or we're not. Noah walked in a godly fear, just like we need to. When God asks us to do things, and it's right here, we need to do them all. Not what we think's important. Not what we today think we should do. All of them. We haven't been asked to build a crazy box that's enormous. We've been asked to do some things. We've been asked to be obedient to Him. We've been asked to love Him. We've been asked to be baptized in Him. Not to build a crazy box. Not one that's going to take longer than probably all of us are going to live. Obeying God will lead us to an abundant, fruitful life. Is there anyone here that doesn't want an abundant, fruitful life? That's a rhetorical, silly question. I'll leave you with the question that we started with, and that is, what hangs in the balance of you responding to God in a positive way? What hangs in the balance of God's Word speaking to you and you either doing His will or not? Same thing that hung in the balance with Noah. His entire family, future generations, the entire Bible, his church family, our church family, your future generations hang in the balance. Every single day, we are presented with an opportunity to either do His will or to not. Faith-filled obedience. I'll leave it with you. If you found that your faith has begun to waver, or the things that He has asked us to do, you haven't taken an opportunity to do that yet. For whatever reason, you thought you'd put that off tomorrow. There's no better time than now to be baptized and live with Him as we stand and sing.